comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time. Yeah!
Nooner Army, we are live from the capital of the world, Austin, Texas. I am Ben Carnero, the founder of Roadway Report.
Hello.
That's
I podcast.
That's Podcast Jimmy.
You podcast?
I podcast.
You I live podcast.
This isn't in the cold open. This is an extremely cold open.
I figured I'd make it hard for you today.
No, it's good. That's good. Usually I'm the one taunting you and your
Yeah, I wanted to throw you a curveball, but now I'm Lucas Riley. And I'm here. I'm on the ship that sails to Goon Island or whatever Ben is cooking up this week.
Gooner Island. To goon, a goon is a bad guy. A gooner is a member of our army.
I mean, if you fall into both categories, you are highly desired.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so I have some good transportation content this week.
Wow.
I mean, not a ton. I think we should open up with, remember Kill a Cop, Name a Highway?
Mm-hmm.
So, Lucas, do you care to actually explain to the audience what Kill a Cop, Name a Highway means?
So,
or how what the context in which it originated between us?
I mean, some would argue it's America's favorite game. I'm sure, listener, you've seen signs throughout your community and traveling throughout the United States. Maybe this happens in other countries too, but I've really been on the road mostly in the United States. Ben and I spent a lot of time on the road together when we were teenagers, and you know, how often do you see a sign that says Sergeant Mike Johnson? And that's a bad example because he's, you know, an actual person that we dislike. But Sergeant Ron Swanson, Sergeant Baby Bat, I'm looking at my cat, Sergeant William Smith, Memorial Highway. And Ben and I took to, every time we saw one of those signs, we'd say, hey, kill a cop, get a highway, because it seemed like whenever a police officer would die in the line of duty, they would be gifted a highway in their memory.
We drove a lot that summer. We saw a lot of officer memorial highways.
It's true.
A lot. There's a lot. There's truly a lot of them. So the other day I was perusing the Texas Transportation Code, and I just came across the 400 pages of it that are, you know, for specific cops and other like public figures. I was looking at it, and so they recognize a ton of different people. It's not just cops. And of the cops, not all, like, I was like, oh, how many of these people are killed in traffic accidents, right? Just by
right.
virtue of being in a relatively high risk position in the roadway.
And often, being along the massive river of metal death machines.
The answer is, yeah, a good chunk. One of the ones I found, here, let me pull it up, was for Deputy Sheriff Raymond Bradley Jimerson. Let's see.
No, it wasn't.
I'm going to pull up his obituary, because he seemed like a really likable guy, honestly.
Jimerson. Jimerson feels like an
potentially
like,
racist.
Yeah.
But he seems like a pretty fun dude. Boo Boo Jimerson. Brad Boo Boo Jimerson, 48.
Boo Boo Jimerson. Oh, tragic.
Of Nacogdoches, joined our Lord and Savior Friday on October 5th, 2018. Brad was born in 1970, the son of Raymond and Ola Bell Hooper Jimerson.
Do you think it was Himerson?
He was born and raised in his beloved Nacogdoches County. His childhood was filled with hunting and fishing. His enjoyment of these things carried on with him throughout his life. Brad loved being in the outdoors. His favorite places to be were in the woods or on the water fishing. He was known to be the best buck grunter around. Did you know what that means? Because I'm a city boy. I don't.
I assume it means he could do a good elk call or a good deer
a good
call.
Good buck impression.
Yeah.
Man. Together with his friends, he spent many hours in the deer stand, fishing or just sitting around a fire, making the fond memories that filled their lives.
Now, fishing from the deer stand is not advisable.
This is good. Among his greatest passions was his love of shooting. Brad was one of the best marksmen around. There are countless numbers of quarters hanging on key rings that he made. He also held the longest standing title of skeet shooting champion for the East Texas POA. I don't know what that stands for. He had an enormous sense of humor, and to know him was to love him. It's going to break my heart. Brad had a passion for kids and was close to every child that belonged to his family and friends. He always had a joke or story, although most were exaggerated. His smile was contagious and was always accompanied with some noise, from snorts to grunts to simple smirks, comments, or a wink of his eye. Not a day went by that he did not make someone smile with the relentless teasing that was ever present when he was around. Boo Boo, as most everyone knew him, was the epitome of an East Texas boy. His kind heart and loving manner was an inspiration to many. This spirit of loving compassion is what led him to his career in law enforcement. He spent the last 20 years honorably serving the people of Nacogdoches County. In 2006, he was awarded Peace Officer of the Year and had recently attained his Master Peace Officer license. The sense of family between his brothers and sisters in uniform and the camaraderie they shared was infinite. The imposing presence that Boo Boo demanded was his greatest attribute, along with the ability to turn any situation into a time of laughter and entertainment. More often than not, he would answer the call from the dispatchers with some comical notation instead of the typical answer that should follow. Brad was a great singer, and he loved country music. He would break into song at any given time, whether it be on the phone or in the presence of others. Karaoke was a specific pastime that he enjoyed as well. Brad was very comfortable singing and would be the first to jump up to begin the night of festivities. Brad loved his family endlessly, as well as his favorite girl, Tiffany. They had finally found someone who could put up with his rants and his quirky ways. The two were just beginning to plan their life together as their impending wedding was scheduled for next year. Boo Boo will be greatly missed, not only by his family and close friends, but by his Thin Blue Line family that forever will have a void in their daily lives. Rest in peace, brother. We will take it from here.
Wow. Big dude, loved country music, shooting guns. Yeah, I mean, it's tragic. Not even police officers deserve to die at the hands of our roadways.
Yeah, for real. For real. Yeah.
It also highlights for me, like, we've discussed this a little bit on earlier episodes, but the fact that, you know, people get into public service in all sorts of different disciplines for really all the right reasons, because they love their community, because they have a sense of meaning and pride attached to it. And it's just sad that so many of our systems of government just enforce inequalities like the ones we cover on our beat. But it's still sad when someone like Boo Boo is tragically taken too early.
Yeah, bro, I'm pouring one out for Boo Boo.
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah, fuck it. I'm glad they named a highway after him. I'm going to look it up.
I mean,
where is
it? It's not like he was passionate about...
about roads.
Our country's great system of freeways, right? Like,
bro, a lot of people are pretty stoked on streets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm stoked on streets. I mean, the even the highway system, I mean, credit where credit is due, it's a pretty impressive system. I mean, it's a marvel of engineering from, you know, in some cases, now 80, 85 years ago. Hey.
So it's Highway 259 in Nacogdoches County. Is that where he died?
At least it was in his home. What is, I mean, the purpose of Kill a Cop, Get a Highway is like good PR for the police departments or for departments of transportation. Like,
they what? Just, yeah, it's like a press thing. It's true. It's like they just want to shake some hands, grease some wheels. Like they'll do actors. They'll do anyone.
Who? The Department of Transportation?
Anybody. Yeah, I mean, in California, I'm sure there's a fucking 100 Ronald
Reagan
highways.
But I'm curious, like, who it serves. And, like, we're talking about it, but I've never really
right?
talked. Yeah, of course. I mean, well, there's a lot of presidential memorial highways. And I'm not questioning the, like, who the highways are named after. I'm questioning, like, what purpose does naming a highway after anyone serve anyone? Like, it costs money to put up a sign. I guess it's community building. I don't get it. Explain to me the value, the benefits.
I think I like street names. I think there's so many. And so there's such a diverse set of words. All of the worst streets are named after... I don't know. In Austin, the most dangerous streets are like Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. Some of the lowest income areas, some of the lowest income areas in Denver run along a road called Bruce Randolph. He was called Daddy Bruce Randolph. Not enough time on the pod today to go all the way into his history, but he was a huge community leader. He was a local chef and entrepreneur, and he really like was a staple and a defining member of the community. So yeah, I mean, now that I start talking about it, it's like, yeah, it is nice that the street is named after him, even if it is a street that also carries the legacy of segregation and inequality that, you know, streets tell us.
I want to rename Lamar in Texas, in Austin. Let me see, Mirabeau B. Lamar. I remember this guy being sort of a dick.
Where's I'm a Hog
Avenue? Poet? Okay, first of all, I hate poets. Just write songs, okay? If you want to be a poet, just learn the fucking guitar, and then, okay, there, you're allowed to write poetry. But otherwise, poets, whack. Mirabeau B. Lamar. Poet.
What about, like, I mean, this is relevant because of the name Lamar. What about rappers? Should they keep writing?
No, so, okay, we need to switch it. We need to switch it from Lamar to Kendrick Lamar Boulevard.
I support
because it's
that.
His moment. It's his cultural moment.
The Kendrick Lamar No Pedophiles Allowed Boulevard.
He ordered attacks against the Indian tribes. In 1839, Texian troops drove the Cherokee bands from the state.
Now, that's just good business.
Lamar, is this guy like founded Austin? Lamar appointed a commission to select a permanent site for the capital of the Republic. And they chose Waterloo, where the Colorado River meets Shoal Creek, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be right there tomorrow. I'm going to be literally right there tomorrow, 184 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
All because of Mirabeau B. Lamar.
Yeah, I would love to read more of the history about the original white settlement and displacement of peoples in what is now Austin. I really don't know a ton of the history. I know some of it here in Colorado. History Colorado has an exhibit that's on the Sand Creek Massacre, which I recommend listeners go to their website. There's a ton of information there. Or if you happen to be in Denver, go to History Colorado. Pretty in-depth look at some of the atrocities that came about to make the settlement of this area possible. But yeah, I don't know the story in Austin. I'm not surprised that it partially begins with a tax being levied.
Yeah.
But what should you name? What should we name Lamar?
Before I just keep... No, Kendrick Lamar Boulevard.
Kendrick Lamar Boulevard.
I think that's
Boulevard.
The only appropriate thing we can change it to so people don't get confused.
There are real impacts to changing the names of city streets.
That's a good point.
Last week, I got to explore
you got anything
another...
good? Cop maims woman. Not listed on police report. Okay, this one was dope. This one is a dope traffic death. This is... if anybody wants to come on and talk about their traffic death, where you're invited, right? But we only have one rule. You can't be a bummer about it. This is a comedy podcast. So if you're involved in a traffic death and you want to come on and open up about it a little bit, we welcome it. Please, we want you to come on the podcast. But it can get a little sad, you know, right? You know, there's a balance. But if at any point we determine that we've become a bummer, then I think you'll be declared a penalty or a party foul.
We'll press the button and you'll fall through the floor.
So Bradenton, here we go. In 2019, shortly after the annual DeSoto Parade, Police Chief Melanie Bevan struck Rita Bonnet with her unmarked Ford Explorer. Bonnet, who was holding her 4-year-old daughter at the time, managed to throw her daughter out of the vehicle's path, but was unable to break her fall. She hit her head on the ground, suffering a traumatic brain injury that has resulted in seizures, migraines, and recurring nightmares about being run over.
Same.
You'd think that might not need to be said, but
Right. It's probably part of what they're
a rookie officer
being
wrote the
litigious towards.
Yeah. A rookie officer wrote the incident report, which was later approved by a veteran sergeant. The report, however, did not include Bevan's name, according to a former department source. The officer claimed he was instructed by two superiors on what to write. Bradenton Mayor Gene Brown has never publicly addressed the incident, despite his office being served with a summons for a negligence lawsuit filed in 2021 by Bonnet against the city. Brown, who also serves as the city's police commissioner, oversees Bevan. At the time of the accident in 2019, however, Brown was a city council member and Wayne Poston was mayor. Poston, too, was Bevan's supervisor. At least 10 individuals may have been aware, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I don't know. I guess it just didn't get into the report. I don't know what happened. I forgot.
She had to throw her child. She had to cast her child out of the way of the chief of police. And now every day she wakes up and she gets hit by a car.
Yep.
Well, between my seizures, I've got to deal with this PTSD. And someone's got to take care of my daughter. Insane.
Unbelievable. Yeah, insane. Unbelievable.
Here's a good one. One dead, one injured after car drives into building. Police say one woman is dead after a car hit an apartment on Friday in Lexington, Kentucky. Police say a vehicle drove into an apartment complex on the 3700 block of Camelot Drive around 5 p.m., injuring two pedestrians. Both were taken to the hospital. One of the victims, 76-year-old Mary Downs, died in the hospital later Friday night. So it's like you don't even have to go outside. It could happen to you. This is more normal than you think.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. Like, not even a building, not even being inside can protect you. Wow. I mean, I feel like being on probably, like, the third floor is good enough.
Right. Then you gotta
worry
about birds.
Maybe not totally
birds.
Foolproof, but, I mean, I have one that's definitely a little bit of a different beat here, but police, two passengers dead after driver opens fire on Miami-Dade transit bus. This happened right at the end of March on a Miami-Dade County public transit bus. According to police, everything started around 3 a.m. when officers responded to a disturbance call. Investigators say that the driver of the Miami-Dade transit bus got into an argument or a disagreement of some sort with passengers who were on board. We need more information here. We get a little bit more a little bit later in this article. A witness who was on board told the news that the dispute started when the driver refused to let a man board the bus with a stolen bike. So someone had stolen a bike, tried to get on the bus. They had words. The driver pulled out his gun and fired 6 shots. Shot the guy a couple times, caught one other guy, and both of the victims were rushed to the hospital. The Miami-Dade Department of Transportation made an official statement letting the public know that drivers are not allowed to be armed, which of course contradicts the position that we have at the podcast, which is that everyone who's a bus operator, public transit operator, is more qualified to be a cop, and everyone who's a cop is more qualified to be a public transit operator. So thought that was relevant.
I think every bus driver should have a gun on each hip and then a third gun, like an ankle holster. Keanu Reeves.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, in this case, it did end someone's life who was just, like, trying to ride the bus for free with a stolen bike. I mean, it seems. Listeners, if you were on that bus,
yeah, bro,
or someone
that's
you
some
know...
serious bus enforcement.
Yeah, that is... You know, because I always like it when the bus driver, like, kind of lets someone ride, especially if the bus isn't full and, you know, the bus is running late. Like, just let them ride. It's okay. Don't shoot them.
All right, so I got a few articles that have really been grinding my gears, man.
Yeah, hit me.
So I got something that's really been grinding my gears. So tell me, what's dangerous about electric scooters? Like, I hear a lot of people talk about when I say, I'm going to scoot to my destination. People say, be careful. Those scooters, you'll crack your head open.
Ooh, I know. And I know what's myself, dangerous.
What's dangerous about those scooters?
Nothing. It's the cars that might hit you.
It is, in fact, the cars. Especially for the rental scooters. The rental scooters, sorry, I'm trying to eat some ice cream just to make the pain go away.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are e-bikes, like, people ride e-bikes in Denver, and a lot of people, there's, like, an e-bike rebate program here, so a ton of people have them, which is great, and I've seen more and more people ride them, especially when the weather gets good. It's great to see, but sometimes they are whipping. Sometimes, like, people are going, like, 25, 30 miles an hour.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
Let's be
like, that's dangerous.
Let's be real.
Sure.
That is dangerous.
Those should be registered as motorcycles.
If you're doing 13 on a bird scooter, you don't really need a helmet. I mean, I think a lot of people have fallen off those things going about 10 miles an hour, and it's usually it can be super fucked up, but you have to be drunk. The TBI rates are about the same as an e-bike, and that is higher than a bicycle. How do I explain this? If you want to not get a concussion when you leave the house, the safest way is on the bus. The next safest way is in a car. The next safest way is on a bike.
Well, probably on
and
foot.
Then it depends on the way you measure it. You could argue that per mile, it's safer to ride the bike. If you walk for an hour or you ride a bike for an hour, you'll have more traumatic brain injuries in that hour of cycling. But if you walk a mile versus bike a mile, well, that's the difference between spending like 20 minutes in public space versus spending 4 minutes in public space, 4 minutes in intersections, etc. It works out to where more pedestrians get conked in the head per mile.
I mean, you'd also have to consider the volume, the total volume of cyclists versus pedestrians. And I assume that in most places, there are more pedestrians just as a nominal figure than there are cyclists. So that definitely influences the number of deaths per any given time period or distance traveled.
Yeah, so e-bikes are like about twice as dangerous as regular bikes. And the reason is because around 10-12 miles an hour is where you start to see traumatic brain injuries. Anything over that is like, oh, well, yeah, you can get hurt. But if you ride a bike at pedestrian speeds, same with a scooter. If you ride a scooter at pedestrian speeds, you're not going to – your head's not going to explode. You're going to fall and like you're maybe going to break a wrist or an arm or twist an ankle, right?
Unless you're hit by a vehicle, a 2-ton vehicle going 40 miles an hour. Obviously, that's the variable.
But no, so it's like these scooters aren't dangerous, at least compared to driving, right? Like, the only way to kill somebody is driving. There's only... once a year, an e-bike will kill someone in New York or Toronto, but it's just not common. There's definitely... somewhere in like the dozens of serious injuries from like pedestrian bike collisions. Like a lot of the time someone will get completely clobbered by an e-bike, but they won't die. You know, they might hit their head pretty hard. But they usually don't die. It happens like once a year. Compared to like driving, for every mile you bike versus every mile you drive, your likelihood of killing someone as a driver is like orders of magnitude higher, at least two orders of magnitude.
At least.
So it's like, so why are the scooters dangerous? I mean, yes, your exposure to traumatic brain injury or serious injury or death is higher than if you drove. That's true. I mean, that's obvious. But why isn't it dangerous to drive? Why is it okay to do something that's dangerous for everybody but yourself, and not okay to do something that is only dangerous to you and is to great net benefit to society? We live in a society.
Yeah, I mean, you're describing a society that has become so thoroughly car-brained. And there's a lot of, I think, things that operate this way. I think the way that we source our food is similar in the fact that we have divorced ourselves from the reality of what it takes to get from, in the case of transportation, to get from A to B. We've been divorced from the reality that we're driving a massive machine that weighs a lot in close proximity with everyone else in our city, in the same way that we've been divorced from thinking about these avocados that came from Mexico that were grown on a farm and shipped to the United States and are owned by, you know, a handful of corporations that collect all of the money and, you know, charge more than they need to so that they can, you know, take profits from those. So, you know, we're in a position where our food is A, not healthy because it's grown in conditions that, you know, are inorganic, that are just producing as much food as possible, especially when we talk about like factory farms and meat. And it's more expensive than it needs to be because it's profits are being taken. It's the exact same thing. Like, you're so right that it's driving that is dangerous, but people associate scooting as dangerous because driving is the norm. Driving is what everyone does. It's a given. So of course you drive. Driving's not dangerous. Only if you get in a car accident is it dangerous.
People always say fucking stupid shit like why is that guy on that road? You know, like, can't ride a bike there. That's a fast road. It's like, well, I don't know. Yeah, you should kill him, I guess.
Run him over. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I do always love it when I see someone riding a scooter down, like, a 6-lane, 40-mile-an-hour strode. You know, someone's got to do it. I think that's a warrior. That's one of our army members.
Oh, yeah. The Gunner Army is out there bombing down the access road, bombing down the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Going, beep, beep, I'm a car.
Riding three to a scooter. Yeah, three people on one scooter going 12 miles an hour down I-35. That's freedom.
Have you seen
that's freedom.
Three to a scooter? Because I've seen three to a scooter. I've definitely seen that in the real world.
I don't think I've seen three to a scooter on the freeway, but I've seen scooter on the freeway. I've seen someone trying to push it because I know they shut down, but I've seen someone trying to hump the scooter up the freeway, and I've definitely seen three to a scooter.
Oh my god! Okay, here we go. I found one of the, you know, so there's so few like cyclist pedestrian fatalities that, you know, I found one of them. I found like the only one basically. An Illinois State University administrator has died 4 days after he collided with a bicycle on the ISU campus. But this is the crazy part. This is the crazy part. Adam was a wonderful person, friend, and a colleague to all of us, said Vice President for Student Affairs Levister Johnson. Our hearts are broken, but we face this together as a Redbird community. It said somewhere else that he had just told his wife, he's like, man, these cyclists are going to kill me. and then they did.
What did he do to them? Why? How did he know? I'm picturing like a mob movie, like, honey, I might not come home tonight. These cyclists, they're on to me. They're going to get me one of these times. All right. So be safe out there. I love you.
But he knew. He knew.
There must have been some real reason for him to fear. There must have been a big hill or something, right? And like a hill that led the outlet cyclists into an area where there were a lot of pedestrians. Like, there must have been some infrastructural piece to this that like caused him to feel that there was a pattern of lack of safety.
Yeah, that's a good point. We look at the ISU campus, see if it looks shreddable. See if it's begging to be shredded.
You said Illinois State? Where is Illinois State? Is it? That's not in Bloomington, is it?
Wait, why are we even doing this? This is a freak accident.
Yeah, obviously. But, you know, there might be some factors to consider. If the guy told his wife, honey, they're going to get me. Like, did the cyclist intentionally slam into him because he, like, didn't, you know, help him enroll in the classes that he wanted? Or
these are some of the headlines I found on scooters. It was, end the menace of dangerous e-scooters once and for all. Police take action after increasing complaints about dangerous electric bikes and scooters. The last line of that article was, no one has been injured. As e-scooter use grows, ER doctors say they're seeing devastating injuries, with no mention of how many of them are caused by cars. What are the police doing about dangerous e-scooter riders? Some of these quotes are so funny. It's to dangerous e-scooters ban at Seaside Holiday Parks. He was concerned about chief executive of Ellis Bros Group, which owns the park, said he was concerned about children using the scooters unsupervised and said there had been several near misses at the site. These things are potentially very dangerous. And I think there is a key distinction between potentially very dangerous and very dangerous.
Yeah, I'm flashing on another potential parallelism here with something that we hear a lot about, which is the demonization of the unhoused, of homeless people, right? Because homeless people are often given a very, very bad rap, right? The media has conditioned people to associate unhoused people with violent crime, which, of course, some people who are in a desperate situation can behave in ways to get what they need that are outside the bounds of the law. But there is not a one-to-one ratio between homeless people and criminals, violent criminals. And that's the conflation that they want us to make. They want us to see a homeless person and think that is a criminal. That is a person who has failed society and who will hurt me. And it's the same thing. They want us to look at a scooter and say, oh, that's a person riding a scooter, and say, that's a person that has failed society and that is a danger to society. And it's a total falsehood. And it's one of these things, it's one of these tricks that I think are constantly played on us.
Okay, I found this really fucked up article. This is crazy. This is pretty crazy. I don't know. This is basically like anti-scooter propaganda, so I sort of don't even want to read it. But,
read it.
No, I mean, and honestly, it kind of hits on a lot of good points, to be honest. This past Shabbos at 4 p.m., I was outside. I left my home with my 5-year-old son to run some last-minute errands. As we stepped outside, my son, full of excitement, ran ahead of me and out onto the sidewalk. In an instant, two boys zooming by on an electric scooter collided with him. My heart sank as I saw him thrown 2 feet across the pavement.
You're not supposed to ride the scooter on the sidewalk.
But, dude, a car will hit somebody like like a quarter mile. Like a car can
so
throw your
this
body.
Guy's son didn't die. This guy's son
so
didn't
far.
Die. Did he?
I mean, it was scary.
Yeah, but he didn't Probably die. If scary. He had been hit by a car in the same Kid scenario, he would have died.
his head was bleeding from two gashes caused by the scooter's handlebars. And that sucks.
Yeah, that sure I mean, really it's sucks. Like he got...
And his
it's
face,
like he
having
got
hit
bit.
The sidewalk with force, was scraped, bruised, and bloodied. His arm was also injured. In a panic, I called the Hatzalah and pulled my son back inside. Barish Hashem, he was conscious, and Hatzalah was on the way. Brooklyn problems, bro. quintessential Brooklyn problems.
I mean, it's like you put your hand in the water and it got bit off by a piranha. That's better than falling into the water and getting eaten by a shark, isn't it?
Here, get this. The boy responsible for the accident remained on the scene, visibly shocked by what had happened. My parental instincts took over, so I began demanding why he had been riding so carelessly. His response, "It wasn't my fault. Your son ran onto the sidewalk." I reminded him that riding an electric scooter on the sidewalk is dangerous. His defense was, "Should I ride in the street? That's dangerous." From his answer, I understood that his parents had forbidden him from riding in the street under any circumstances, and therefore the responsibility for this accident lies with the parents. When Hatzalah arrived, they carefully examined my son and transported us to the hospital. They removed the small pebbles embedded in his face and put some staples in his head. This was a painful and traumatic experience for a little boy. I received video footage of the boys on their scooters. They weren't riding at top speed, but they weren't going slowly either. Hashem Yishmo, I know no Yiddish. If they had been moving faster, the outcome could have been much worse. Shas v'sholom. I tracked down the parents. Their ignorance of the hazard of their child's fun accessory poses was alarming. I'm sorry, but no child's fun or can justify another child's injury, or anyone for that matter. Electric scooters do not belong on sidewalks, period. They are a danger to pedestrians, especially children and the elderly. So think about that. It's like this guy in New York is rock fucking hard. Like he's like, I've got to save my son from the scooters, right? But everyone he knows is almost 100 to 1,000 times more likely to be hit by a car and die.
And he doesn't have the same vehemence.
It's just fascinating. It's just fascinating. We're losing the PR war.
Well, I mean,
we've gotta get the information out there. We've gotta let the people know.
This is bad PR for scooters, for sure. But it's, you know, it's predicated on the fact that he loves his son. You know what I mean? And like, we can't fault people for loving their loved ones and caring about what they care about. We just have to tell compelling stories in the other direction. We have to keep making pro scooter propaganda.
Pro scooter propaganda. We're gonna take all over the government.
It's a weird world, but no, I mean, I think that's my deepest take on this is like, if you live in the city, accidents are gonna happen. You're gonna run into people at the wrong time. Human beings are flawed. Even if we designed a bubble boy world where everything was walled off from everything else, we would still find ways to fuck each other up.
Oh boy.
And so I think that the wave of the personal conveyance, the wave of the scooter, is going to be undeniable, and I think it's going to stay with us for a really, really long time, because to me it's got the functionality of a bicycle, but it's way more accessible, especially to Americans that have, you know, I mean, a lot of Americans don't get around so well. And the scooter, the personal conveyance, is a solution to that. It provides them the same functionality as a bicycle. And obviously we need to work to improve the conditions of our cities so that it's safer to get around using things that have the functionality of a bicycle, right, as opposed to the functionality of a motor vehicle. But I think the technology will win out, because that's what technology does when it's good and when it actually serves people.
I think the ceiling lies only with the bikeability of the place. Wherever there is good enough bike infrastructure to support people of all ages, the scooters become viable for up to 60% of urban trips. It's phenomenal, really. There's no more issues with needing to be in shape to make short bike trips. It's dope.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an equalizer, which isn't that part of what America's about? I mean, we don't want to go there.
Equalizer, I just met her.
Hey.
Okay. I have more, man. You see, this is like, all this stuff was supposed to come out, we just kept having to reschedule. So I've definitely accumulated some interesting stuff.
Yeah, before you dive in with one more article, I'll just share one takeaway. I was on the Eastern Seaboard last week. I was in and around Portland, Maine, which was absolutely lovely and gorgeous. It was great to be around in a city that has so much pre-war development. There were some incredibly bikeable places, some beautiful neighborhoods. Rent is pretty high. It's one of those places, but as someone who spends a lot of time in Denver that, the vast majority of development is post-war and suburban sprawl, it was nice to be in another place, even though it's still extremely car-oriented and obviously the freeways wrought destruction and redlining wrought destruction in Portland the same way it did throughout the United States. It's still like it's always a breath of fresh air for me to be somewhere where I know that people were getting around without cars, hundreds of years ago. It's something about it. I'm a weirdo like that.
No, it's it all just comes down to whenever it was built. That's always, it's like the core key predictor.
Do you get off on it, on just like being in a place like that? I sort of get off on it, for lack of a better term. Maybe I'm trying to lead our conversation to gooning for a second, but do you goon just being in a nice urban fabric?
Yeah, oh my god, yeah. I don't have to be on a bike, I can be on foot. Some places just don't have very good urban fabric, and sometimes I even enjoy exploring those. A bike kind of lets you turn hostile pedestrian spaces into a little bit more of a playground.
At least at the right time of day.
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, most of the time, the urban and the transportation infrastructure is so wildly over-engineered that there's just vast amounts of dead urban space in most of America. So you can sort of just, wiggle around as long as you stay off the main roads.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to recognize how far we've come, man. I was thinking about what I used to do when I got upset about bicycles. I used to just get like drunk, and whenever I was drunk, I would send mean emails to the Austin Transportation Department. So many that they blocked me. Like the abuse got so bad that they don't they don't respond to my emails. Either they don't respond or they muted them because they were pretty flagrantly abusive. So the problem with that is, I want to work at the transfer. I want to work with the Austin Transportation Department. I want to help them stop killing people. I've probably blown that opportunity, right? Just by virtue of having done this. Another thing about sending emails to the government is that it's a public record. So realistically, anybody at home can submit a public information request to the city of Austin for emails from bencarnero@gmail.com to transportation@austintexas.gov. Anybody can do this for free. And then you can get all these emails yourself. But there's about 50 drunk, flagrantly abusive, outrageous emails to the transportation department. And I think we can just start sharing them perhaps a few at a time.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea for a segment. I'd love that. I've only sent, maybe a dozen emails of that nature, but mine have been very well constructed, and I think I've gotten a response on maybe one or two, and neither of them were like real responses. So I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. I'm sure you were flagged for your flagrant and profane ramblings, but I wouldn't, sweat it that they'd never responded. Because they don't respond. Because they don't give a fuck.
So they responded at first, though. Your Dutch infrastructure... Okay, subject line. Rio Grande Bikeway. bike freeway. Lol. Your Dutch infrastructure sucks, and some dipshit tried to run me off it literally outside the stupid meter main building. You have failed everyone and all future generations until you provide meaningful alternatives to driving. I'm begging you to help, Ben. So good. So good.
A little unfair.
Next one. The next one. Merry Christmas is the subject line. Merry Christmas to all. A reminder that you've failed to provide any meaningful alternatives to driving, even in the downtown area. You have failed us all, and you have failed future generations. Merry Christmas, you useless assholes. Ben Carnero.
Wow. Do you have any of your responses to you?
This is so good. This is so good. Hello, bad actors. Subject line, drunk driving-based economy. Hello, bad actors. Just a reminder that the only way to get downtown is to drive. The only thing to do downtown is get absolutely blasted. Drinking and driving is a natural and inevitable outcome of y'all failing to do your job. Abject failure of a transportation department, best Ben. And then in a reply to my original email, I go, check out this banging parm I made last night. It's a picture of my palm. It's red, the color of all the blood on your hands from bad engineering practices. I sent them a picture of my chicken palm.
Wow. Yeah, sometimes I question whether recording this podcast is, you know, walking the line of, like, pushing me to a place where, you know, I might not be employable, et cetera, if this were to ever, you know, go big or anything like that.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. You have come a long way. You have come a long way. This is such a more productive way to approach the problem than the chicken parm.
I put a job application in for a job I really want, and I had, like, a reference and everything, like a hot lead. And then the last thing I had posted, when the recruiter, like, looked at my LinkedIn profile, the last thing I had posted was, listen to this week's episode. Waiter, is that bussy juicy? So that's the post they see. And I haven't heard back from them. So, you know, you know, it's a process. It's a process.
Yeah,
trust the process.
Not the only factor. Not the only factor. Well, yeah, well, I will cross my fingers. I know these things can take a long time. And there's been, was it a public sector job?
It was, yeah, GovTech.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's GovTech. A lot of uncertainty in the markets at the moment. So I'm sure that's slowed some decision making depending on the size and scope of the company that you're talking to.
I'm trying to get one of the scooter companies to hire me. I've been meeting with some people in an official capacity at one company, and I'm trying to get a reference in at another company that I want to work for. So we'll see how that goes. Just, you know, taking it a day at a time. Submitted a potential speech, Scooters Don't Kill People, to the North American Bike Share and Scooter Share Association's conference in Montreal in October. It'd be really sick if they said yes.
Nice.
I'd love to go to Montreal. And then tomorrow is the Python convention at the library. So if you're in Austin, there's like 5 tickets left, I think. I'm going to publish this tonight. So, yeah, come learn about Python at the public library. It's all weekend.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That sounds
great. Sorry that I'm dominating the conversation today.
No, man, you're pent up. I love it. I love it. It's good energy. I met a lot of new people last week. I started a new gig last week for anyone who's joining us for the first time. I met a lot of people. I've been doing a lot of, like, presenting. That's going to be a big part of my job, is, like, consulting people and, you know, presenting on the technology solutions that we have. So I've been doing a lot of output because the first week of training was in person. So we focused more on the output and the presentation. Now we're really getting into the nitty gritty with the software systems, and it's going well. I'm really enjoying it. It's good people. It's you know, public sector, and it's good company. I can get behind what I'm doing, helping dedicated public servants administer crucial public services. So Yeah, it was beautiful to be in Maine. I'm really glad to be home. It's been beautiful in Denver. I got about 8 miles on my bike yesterday. I'll probably hop on my bike when we get off today. And yeah, man, no, not at all. This has been awesome. I'm glad that we can continue to connect in this way. And anyone out there listening, please continue to reach out. I'm at blurbinist@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Threads at blurbinist. I also run a publication called Lucas's Little Library. I'm a playwright and I write prose. I have a couple of other projects in the audio format, so check that out on Substack. You can go to Lucas Riley, it's .substack.com, or search Lucas's Little Library and you'll find me.
Or send me an email at blurbinist@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can hit me up at ben@roadway.report. If you want to come on the podcast, if you've killed someone with your car, we want you to come on the podcast, but you can't be a bummer about it. If you've killed someone with your car, if you've killed someone with a bike, we definitely want you to come on the podcast. Because that's crazy. How the fuck did you do that? But it's far more likely that someone listening to this has accidentally killed someone with their car, because that happens all the fucking time. Even when people mostly follow the rules. Like, sometimes you just come over a hill and your stopping distance is further than you anticipated it would be, right? Like, that sort of thing happens all the time. Sometimes people jump out into the road. So we're not going to call you a murderer if you kill someone with your car, but we do want you to come on the podcast, and we don't want you to necessarily be a bummer about it, and we do want you to have a good time.
Indeed. And wear our merch while you do it. Go to roadway.report and check out the merch link. There's some really incredible shirts, such as Legalized Drunk Driving. You can also, from Roadway Report, print QR codes for any deaths that have happened in your community that you might want to raise more awareness about. So continue to do the good work.
Yeah, I put up some banging shirts the other day. I put up Make Driving Illegal, Make Drivers Wear Helmets, Cars Are for Losers, All Cars Are Bad, ACAB, Cars Are in Cities, Roadhead Kills. Those are all the new ones. Pick yourself up a Roadhead Kills today.
Nice. It's a good one. I mean, it's true, and it's like, it's slightly tangential, but it's, and again, it's not the head that kills, it's the road.
Bingo. Zango. The government wants to take your roadhead away.
That's, I mean, that, I wish
we could have roadhead at slow speeds. If we have traffic calming and medians, and we have benches and garden beds, we can have as much roadhead as we want. The road can be a place for head, not for cars. How's that? That's good.
You may perform fellatio on any personal conveyance or bicycle.
Someone added me on LinkedIn today. Their last name was Sluckin.
Oh,
that person's invited on the podcast. My God, slucking and fucking in the new world, baby. We're scooting right into the future. The government, they want you to drive, man. They want you to live in that cage. They want you to buy their oil, man. But you're not gonna. You're gonna get on that bike today and you're gonna ride further than you've ever ridden before because you're strong. And the government's not gonna put you in your place. The government's not gonna tell you what to do, goddammit. You're gonna live your life. You're gonna be independent. You're gonna be somebody, not just another sheep in an SUV.
Amen.
The Gooner Army is strong. The Gooners are prepared for anything. We are prepared for war.
This is going to be fun to listen to back at some sort of like public hearing one day.
Comedy, no, we're podcast. Not. Oh, yeah, I know you're right.
Ready for a comedy podcast about roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast. Comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time. Yeah!